and sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. And I believe my good friend Father Douglas McKay is calling in right now. Maybe not. And I lost him. Hopefully he'll call back in. But we want to praise and thank God for our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And we cannot do this without you. And we'll talk about the golf outing in just a minute. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father McKay and us are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I think we're getting Father back here. Father?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you, pal?
Yeah, I tried to call in. I got a recording.
Yeah, I didn't answer it in time, so it hopped over. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Oh, we're already on?
Yeah, we're on. We're live, brother.
It told me.
Yep. And I was just saying that the normal... we're available to come out, although you're not as available as you used to be now that you're also the rector at Malvern in addition to being the chaplain.
I need tri-location, not by tri, three places at once.
Yeah, keep praying, you'll get there. So, the Matt Talbot Shrine's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel Church, and... opens 9 a.m. following the 8:30 Mass and closes a little after 5 o'clock, again on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have a rosary at 4 o'clock on Thursday, if you care to join us. And I think Father Foley's got some other plans for adoration and rosary on Tuesday, I believe. But we'll let you know when that's official. We do have one retreat left coming up. We've been talking about retreats for the past couple months, and... there's a women's Matt Talbot retreat that'll be held September 22nd to the 24th at the Malvern Retreat House. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or get in touch with me if you have questions, and I can put you in touch with the folks that are running it. You can get in touch with me all the time through the Our House Ministries website. Both phone number and contact page are there that allow you to reach out to me. Last but not least, on Tuesday, October the 17th, we have a golf outing coming up, one of our two annual fundraisers, much needed to raise money for the airtime that we have to purchase, as well as paying all, any of the expenses we have, including only one salary, our friend Maureen, who the administrator here takes care of just about everything, except the broadcasting, it seems. And but the rest of us are volunteers. So on that Tuesday, again, it's a Tuesday this year, not a Monday, we'll be playing a scramble golf tournament. You can come by yourself, bring a foursome. All the information can be found on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there where you can download a flyer. It's got the sponsorship opportunities and all the information on how to register for the outing. I will be there this year, God willing. I was planning to be there last year until I ended up in the hospital getting my appendix out that day. But if you come out, it'd be great to meet you somehow or other. Even though it's middle of the fall, Kathleen always seems to get great weather. We'll have good food, I'm sure. And this year we also changed venues. We're at Talamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. So come on out, support the cause. And meet some great people affiliated with this great Catholic radio apostolate. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence for the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Just another quick announcement, and we should probably include this all the time. Next Thursday, September the 14th, they've started a Militia Immaculata Village at the Malvern Retreat House. The current plan is to get together on the second Thursday of each month, and they'll begin with a rosary reading and meditation on one of Maximilian Kolbe's writings, and then followed by Mass. This month, September, it'll be on Thursday, September the 14th. Starts at 7 o'clock. We'll try to have you out of there by 9 o'clock with Father McKay being at Malvern and our good friend Brian Gale and some others. They've established this Militia Immaculata Village. And anybody's more than welcome to come out at the end of the evening. There's an opportunity to make a consecration as a Knight of the Immaculata. The organization or movement started by Maximilian Kolbe back in the early 20th century. And there's quite a few Knights of Immaculata here in the Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey area. So more and more people, I think, will be showing up for that. And on top of that, if once you get involved with the Knights, and it's open to men and women. We hear Knights and people may think it's like the Knights of Columbus where it's for men. The Knights of Immaculata is men and women. However, they have an annual retreat that's the weekend before Thanksgiving each year that is for men only. And this year, it should be a great retreat. The speaker, I forget his name off the top of my head, but is a great speaker on the topic of spiritual warfare. And Lord knows we're at the height of it right now. So it should be a great retreat. That's November 17th to the 19th. You can register for that one on malvernretreat.com as well.
I think it's Father Sedano.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, our first meeting, Ken, we certainly had a lot of women there.
Yep.
And the whole vision really is to get more and more people, so come one and all, and fulfill Maximilian Kolbe's vision of have perpetual adoration. And I think Malvern is the perfect place for perpetual adoration. But we need the people.
Amen. Amen. And where we meet is in the known as what they call Lower McShane, which if you haven't been to Malvern in a while, that whole space has been completely redone thanks to a great supporter and board member at Malvern, but also a supporter of Innocent Catholic Radio, Mary B. D'Amico, has been working to convert it into the Carlo Acunis Center and designated to depict all the Eucharistic miracles. And they've had young adults, youth groups that have come out there. Carlo Acutis, of course, having died as a teenager. And, just a great space that's been developed out there. And that's where we'll have our gatherings for the Militia Immaculata.
Yeah, Carlo already beatified. And his mother is coming to Malvern on October the 1st, a Sunday. Yeah. I believe it somewhere like 7 and 9 more details later. I actually got a tent, Kent, for like 500 young people to come
okay.
under the tent. So they'll be inviting all the high schools and some of the grade schools as well. So there's really something's happening there, drawing the young people to Mount Vernon.
I want to come. I'll have to go find my Bishop McDevitt uniform.
Yeah. Get my pirate uniform.
Yeah. All right. We are currently in the 22nd week of Ordinary Time. And on Sunday the 3rd, Gregory the Great, Pope and Doctor, got bumped out because it was a Sunday. Yesterday the 6th was St. Teresa of Calcutta. On Friday the 8th, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary will be celebrated. And on Saturday the 9th, St. Peter Claver. So we're going to try to, we'll start with St. Teresa of Calcutta, and then we're going to get to Monica and Augustine, who we left over from last week, because we figured we need more time to take care of them. So let's get started with Teresa of Calcutta. She was born on August the 26th in the year 1910, would die on September 5th, 1997. Tiny woman, small stature, but just huge in her love of God and the work for the poor. And, of course, she's well known for working to the poorest of the poor, but really didn't start out that way. She was born to Albanian parents in what is now Macedonia. And I'm not even going to try and pronounce her real name, but it's translated her first name anyway to Agnes. She was the youngest of three kids who survived. And for a time, they did all right. The family lived comfortably. But then the father, who had a construction business, died unexpectedly. During her years in public school, Agnes would participate in a Catholic sodality, and at an early age showed a desire to join the foreign missions. At the age of 18, she enters the Loreto Sisters of Dublin, and it was 1928 when she would say goodbye to her mother for the last time, as she would head out to be that missionary. The following year, she was sent to the Loreto Novitiate in Darjeeling, India. And it was there that she chose the name Teresa and would spend the rest of her life in service. Initially, she taught high school for girls and taught history and geography to the daughters of the wealthy. But she still couldn't escape the poverty and the suffering and the overwhelming numbers of the poor people there in India. In 1946, while riding a train to school, to make a retreat, which was also in Darjeeling, Sister Teresa heard what she later explained as the call within a call. And she says, the message was clear. I was to leave the convent and help the poor while living among them. So she gave up her life with the Sisters of Loreto, and then, in her words, followed Christ into the slums to serve him among the poorest of the poor. She got permission to leave the Sisters of Loreto, took a nursing course for a while, returned to Calcutta, and there she would live in the slums and opened a school for poor children. And everybody that has seen pictures of St. Teresa of Calcutta know her to be dressed in a white sari and sandals, and was really the ordinary dress of women. And she got to know the neighbors, especially the poor and the sick, and got to know their needs as well. Obviously, that work was exhausting. There was plenty of poor and destitute that needed to be helped. But she started to get some help. Volunteers came to join her in the work. Some of them were former students, and they became the core of the missionaries of charity. Others helped by donating food, clothing, supplies, and the use of buildings. And in 1952, the city of Calcutta gave Mother Teresa a formal hostel, which became a home for the dying and the destitute. As the order expanded and more sisters were available, services were also offered to orphans, abandoned children, alcoholics, the aging, and street people. And for the next 40 years, Mother Teresa worked tirelessly on the behalf of the poor. In 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and on September the 5th, 1997, as mentioned before, she was called home. She was canonized by Pope Francis on September the 4th, 2016. That's Mother St. Teresa of Calcutta, whose feast we celebrated yesterday on the 6th of September. Father?
Yes, such a wonderful woman. She just really reflected the presence of God within her. And yet she struggled so much. That book that was Come Be My Light, she reveals about her dark night for all those years. She felt abandoned, forsaken for years, yet somehow she met the Lord in this darkness and lived a life of faith. And that's all it really takes is faith. I just think about so many saints like Claudel Colombier with Margaret Mary, that he never had a vision or a locution. And our Lord said, he's my perfect friend, because he lived a whole life of faith, Ken. And like you said, Mother Teresa only heard that one voice, she says, on the train, that call within the call. But it was all faith for her. And we all have that same beautiful gift of faith at baptism. And it never has to change. It's a constant. It rides us through all the storms of life, just like all the storms that she had to endure. But it was her constant faith that got her through all the storms of life. But just a wonderful woman and so humble. You know, she would clean toilets, and she had a tabernacle in her room. So I have faith that this is really Jesus in her room. She would trust God with all her trials. She said, give whatever he takes and take whatever he gives with a smile. It's amazing. She was always big with the smile, that the smile is the beginning of love that enriches everybody. You know, I think about a smile that, it increases your face value. And it just, when I'm doing my walks, Ken, down the lakes or somewhere or anywhere I come across people, they just love to see a smile and they respond back. More like 99 out of 100 will respond back with a smile. And a smile, you know, just it's how they spread peace, she says, a smile at one another. And but the working with the poor, you know, she saw Jesus in the poor. And it's just amazing, you know, in the streets of Calcutta, that she would go and pick up the bodies, and they weren't even baptized, but she saw the crucified Christ in them. And one time she was washing down one of the bodies, and a wealthy man came along and saw her cleaning the pus and, you know, the bugs off this body that was half naked. And the wealthy man said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And Mother Teresa said, neither would I. I do it for the love of God. You know, that she saw Jesus in all the poor and all the suffering. And certainly that was a charism. And that's where she got her peace from. That was her peace. You know, she emanated such peace. And it's a salary. Peace is a salary when we start living that gospel of his. And we love one another, and we do those corporal works of mercy and feed the hungry and clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, visit the imprisoned, the sick. When we start doing these and really loving our neighbor and going out, there's peace in our hearts because we can't do it without grace. And so that grace we begin to experience, which is, and that peace is the Lord himself. So I often think about that story, Dr. Jampolsky. I said this story not too long ago. But Dr. Jampolsky was doing a paper on peace, and he wanted to know Mother Teresa's secret about peace. So he said to her, she was actually in L.A. and was flying down to Mexico City, and the doctor said, could I come along with you and sit next to you? I'm really on to something about, you know, this gift of peace that you emanate. And she said, yes, you're welcome to come with me, doctor, and fly down from Los Angeles to Mexico City with me. But if you really want to know what peace is, find out how much it would cost to fly from L.A. to Mexico City and then back again. And don't come with me. Give that money to the poor, and you will know peace, peace. There was, I remember a story too, Ken, about German pastries. And some years ago, some Jewish refugees in Mexico, they expressed a desire for German pastries. Well, the pastries weren't essential, but they would be a tasty treat. So a missionary in Mexico, he went through the extra trouble and the expense to get these pastries to give to the refugees. And then someone said, but why did you do that? Someone protested. They're not even Christians. And the missionary replied back, but I am a Christian. Christians, they'll know we are Christians by our love, will know we are Christians by our love for the poor and the needy. And again, Matthew 25, whatever we do to the least of his brethren, we do unto him. And when that Mother Teresa ever meet anybody, she would take your five fingers and she would say, you did it for him, the five words. But how she saw Jesus Christ so profoundly present in the poor and the needy. Yes, Ken, it's just amazing, you know, a woman, all that she did, you know, throughout the years. And like you said, when she was with the Sisters of Loretta, when she heard that call, she didn't have anything. And she left. And she had nowhere to stay. And she stayed with the Little Sisters of the Poor for like 3 weeks before she got a place of her own to stay. But, her rosary beads, too. It was always the Eucharist, holy hours, before, during, after. She just loved Jesus so much. And for her, the tabernacle was heaven's gravity for her and her sisters. They would go there in the morning, have their mass and holy hour and feed up, and then go out into the poor and do the same thing at night again. They live with the Blessed Sacrament, and the Blessed Sacrament live with them, always holding those beautiful rosary beads. But yeah, what a saint of our own time and a great example. I was fortunate, Ken, 1976, when they had the Eucharistic Congress here in Philadelphia, was at the Civic Center, and was right before Mass, and I saw Mother Teresa. I was about maybe 5 feet away from her, and there was another seminary with me. And he took out his camera. Mother Teresa was just emanating peace, sitting there for her meditation for Mass. And my buddy took out his camera and took a picture of her, and it was, at that time, 76, was a flash, but it didn't even faze her. You know, she just stayed deep, deep within. In that darkness that she talked about, where she found the Lord and all that peace, that joy, and that love through the beautiful faith that she had, that faith that we all have, that faith, all we need to do is to act on it. It's not magic. It's not presto and abracadabra. You know, we act on our faith, and we all have it. It could be latent, but we have that gift of faith. I remember years ago after we served Pope John Paul II, a year afterwards, Cardinal Crowe was away on vacation, and Bishop McFadden was his secretary at the time, Monsignor McFadden. And so we had a party celebrating, you know, that visit of Pope John Paul II. And we got a tour of the mansion, the Cardinal's mansion, and he had a closet. And I looked in the closet. It was about as big as my kitchen, and there were shelves all around, and all these wonderful gifts all along these shelves. You know, when a bishop would go to a grade school for confirmation, the kids would always give a gift. So they all these gifts, but they were never opened. They had beautiful red bows and blue bows, all this decorative wrappings. And I said, what good are all these gifts until you open them? And that's how it is with faith. That what good is our faith until we really act upon it and use it? In all the storms of life, because like Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta, all carry us through, all the difficulties, all the problems, all the trials of our life, because faith is strong. Faith tells us that the Lord is at my side. Faith tells me, in him I live and move and have my being. Faith tells me, when I'm weak, I'm strong, because his power rests upon me. And faith in Jesus, you know, it's all it takes, and let the Lord do it. And that was one of the things that Mother Teresa of Calcutta said about humility. Humility is to give him permission to take care of us. So cast all of our cares on him, the Lord, because he cares for us. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, what an example Teresa was to the rest of us. And like most of the saints that we've talked about, over the years, and I think it's 7 or 8 years now, Father, that you know, they all have a particular charism, and a lot of them, it was that charism for the poor. Well, the end of this week, we'll celebrate St. Peter Claver, and he certainly worked with the poor, and so many that realized, you know, who they were in God's world, and the charisms that they were given, and realized, you know, where they needed to be and who they needed to help. And even, you know, Teresa, who starts out as a school teacher, much like yourself, you know, when she finds that call within the call, drops everything, and of course follows follows through by getting permission to leave the Loretto Sisters and start her own order. But to, you know, find that call within a call, and, you know, God found a way to get her from Macedonia, where she was, you know, born and raised, to India. And once she got there was when she found her true calling. And I think of, you know, so many of the people that are in our lives, and they, you know, have we met them at a particular time, and over the years you get to know them a little bit, and you see how God has moved them from you know, one job to another job, from one vocation to another vocation, or a vocation within the vocation. And, you know, God just has a way of getting us where he needs us to be in order to fulfill his role. And I think it's also just as easy to, you know, avoid it as so many of us did for sometimes decades. But for me, it was probably at least 15 years where I didn't really particularly care to learn what it was that God wanted me to do, and was doing my own thing. But somehow or other, he grabbed hold of me and has laid out a life for me that I never expected. And to your point with Mother Teresa and the sacraments, when we open ourselves up to God, when we participate in our Catholic faith, when we make use of all the sacraments so that we get all the graces that are available to us through the one holy Catholic church, that God will take care of the rest. He'll put the people in our path that'll direct us as to what we should be doing and where we should do it, if we don't hear it directly from the source. But I think there's no greater example of that than St. Teresa of Calcutta, following that call that she had, and listening for subsequent calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've been blessed to have the sisters there, you know, mother's sisters, to come down to our mission, Ken. They used to come when Mary Walter was still alive and put out a nice spread. We would have mass. They would bring their residents down that they were taking care of. And I would go to their convent. Father Peter was their chaplain, and they would ask if I would help with the, they would always have a retreat for 3 days, and I would take one of the talks like surrender. But I remember one particular day when I was there with them, they asked if I could come into their cloister, and I felt really privileged to bless it. And I said, I'd be more than happy. Well, Ken, I walked into the cloister, and it was one room, and they had five cots in the one room, and no closet space. You know, you saw like I think they had an extra habit, if that, that everything was so frugal. And, you know, the wealthy people would come in and say, well, let me put a new floor in. Let me get you a new refrigerator. Let me put a big screen television in here for you to relax. And it's like the wealthy, they want to destroy exactly what's pulling them in to see this beautiful poverty. And Mother Teresa, she had like five peas in her garden of her soul. And that was poverty and prayer and penance. And from that, she grew so many fruits, so many blessings for so many. But, yeah, I was always impressed with her sisters and that whole thing. You know, and the word where she says that Jesus is disguised in the poor. And I think about my experiences throughout the years, how I would find Jesus in the poor. So many stories. But I just remember one story. I went into a shelter, and there was a man named Barney, and he had big feet, like size 15, and he needed steel toes, work boots to get a job the next day, or he wouldn't be able to get the job, and nobody could find these shoes. So I went to Phil's Shoes and actually bought the pair for him, size 15, brought them back to him so he could get that job. But I remember that night in front of the tabernacle, in the garden of my soul, I was in that little place where the waterfalls is and the cottages and the wooden footbridge, and I was sitting on the bridge kicking my feet out over the brook. And who comes to sit beside me? Jesus himself. And I look down at his feet, and he's wearing size 15 work boots, steel toe. And I realized what Mother Teresa was always saying, you know, whatever you do to the least of his brethren, you do to Jesus himself, and that Jesus is disguised in the poor. So many stories, Ken, over and over again. Experience Jesus in the needy. Experience Jesus in the addicts. You know ourselves how we see here, Ken, and how people suffer so much. And always think about the story with Stephen up in the room when he came in. And he you could smell the urine on his pants. And he was getting up again and again to get a pretzel or a cup of coffee or soda. And I said, oh, God, we're having such a wonderful Calyx meeting tonight. Why Stephen got to be here? But after the meeting, Stephen came over. And he said, Father Doug, you bless everybody, and I want to bless you. And he wrapped his arms around me. It was a bear hug. It's probably the longest hug I had in my life. And I was getting nauseated because of the urine smell. And when he broke loose, he looked in my eyes, and I looked in his bloodshot eyes, and all I could see was Jesus himself blessing me when he was just putting his hands on me and saying this wonderful, beautiful prayer. All I could hear was Jesus coming through Stephen and blessing me and looking in his eyes and seeing the Lord himself looking back and smiling at me. And then I said, Stephen, how about a coffee and a donut to go? He said, oh, okay, Father, thank you. And I wanted to say to him, you're welcome, Jesus. But again and again, there are so many powerful stories of seeing the suffering Christ in all the people who suffer so much.
All right. That brings us past the bottom of the hour. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back, but we need your phone calls in order to do that. Phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support.
For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'd like to give you a quick rundown on the Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Father McKay and I get together each Tuesday, along with a host of others, at the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church, where we begin at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, that'll be September 19th this month, all are more than welcome to join us at St. Gabriel Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour that includes confessions and benediction, followed by Mass. And all are more than welcome to join us in prayer for those that are in recovery, those that are still active in their addiction, and those that love them. So family members and friends are certainly more than welcome to come and pray with us on that third Tuesday of each month. The Unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow evening, September the 7th. The Unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then the Calyx meeting after. Now they will be meeting this coming Saturday, September the 9th. The Glenside Unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting, and our gathering in September will be Saturday, September 16th. And the Unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They meet next on Saturday, September the 30th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday at 6:15 p.m., followed by a Calyx meeting. So that's tonight, 6:15. And my guest in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be Sister Mary Ann Fatula, and we're going to discuss her book, The Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist, and you're going to want to stick around for that. I think it's enlightening. I've read a couple of the chapters on the Church Fathers and St. John Chrysostom and what they wrote and preached about the Mass and the Eucharist, and it was enlightening, and I encourage you to stick around on the 5 o'clock hour. So we're going to go to the phones, Father, and we've got a regular on the line. Hello. Sorry, Frank. Not sure what happened there. We're going to let Frank go. Frank, if you can hear us, try calling back, pal. I think there's an issue with the phone line there. In the meantime, Father, you have an honor guide?
You know, the one I shared last night, Ken, was the dime story. When we find a dime, it's like our Lord saying, I got your back, I'm here with you, not to worry. But it was, I had just finished reading the book Left to Tell with Immaculée, the Rwanda genocide, and how she had to hide in the bathroom for like 91 days, and how she found God in that beautiful spot in her heart. And it kind of was very affirming for me, you know, listening to her, because, you know, when there are trials and tribulations, we need to go inward with our faith and touch the Lord and let Him take care of things for us. But anyway, after the book, it was a terrible reading in a sense, where all, you know, I was kind of losing faith in humanity. It was like evil devouring evil, how the Tutsis and the Hutus were devouring one another. And it was really hard. And you see it all in the world. It's happening everywhere. Is it going to happen to us here? You know, and I was kind of really low. And then I was sitting at Malvern looking out at the lawn there, and there was this deer not too far away, but it was fixated on me. It kept looking at me. I go back to read and look up. It's still looking at me. I mean, this had to go on for like 10 minutes. So I said, I'm going to get closer to this deer. I walked down to another bench looking at the deer, and I looked down, and there was a dime right there, 1975. It was really dirty, the dime, you know, and I think it was the other episode that Rwanda had over the uprising with the Hutu and the Tutsis. But anyway, that was my dime story, was like the Lord saying, I got this, I'm with it, I got the world in my hand. Nothing bad is going to happen unless I bring a greater good. And, you know, the bad that's happening, Ken, is that we are really divided and moving farther away from God, farther away from one another. And when bad things happen, we seem to come closer together in a need that we have for one another. And then we begin to experience the presence of God even more so. So I really believe that if evil never has the last word, our Lord does. And if bad things happen, God's going to bring good things and better things, or he wouldn't permit evil unless he can bring something good, a greater good, from an evil.
Amen.
But that was my dime story, the dime.
Very good. All right, we're going to try Frank again. He called back. Let's see if... Nope. I'm not sure what's going on here. Try one more time. I think there might be an issue. Yeah, there's an issue with the call-in box that when we go to pick up, it's got too much static. Sorry about that, Frank. We're going to have to forego the phone call for the time being.
Yeah.
And
I miss hearing from Frank. Boy, anyway.
Something with this box.
And I don't think the devil's tail.
Amen. Amen. But now all good. So
that was St. Maximilian Kolbe, Ken, when the printing presses were breaking down. They couldn't get the information of the gospel good news out. And he would say the devil got its tail into the printing press. It would break down. So sometimes that's what's happening here. And he's our patron, right, St. Maximilian Kolbe, for our radio show.
Yeah, it was one of the original Otter gods. You know, having made the consecration of the Knights of Immaculata long before I had met Kathleen, and coming out here, and they had the sign on the door, you know, in his sign, Catholic Radio, and then underneath it, it had Kolbe Communications. So, you know, Otter God, that you know, this whole radio apostolate is, you know, under Maximilian Kolbe's pastorship, if you will, or patronage. And you know, now we're talking earlier today about you know, the Knights of Immaculata, the militia, Immaculata Village out at Malvern. You know, definitely God is stirring something, and Lord knows we need people to, you know, get ready, because you know, something's coming. I'm not sure what it is, but it's coming. And
I think, you know, it's already here.
Yeah. Well, to some degree.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
no, I believe that too, Ken. Something wonderful is going to happen.
Yep. The
Lord's going to intervene.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
There's no human solution, but there's always a divine solution. We've got to let God save us in everything, not just in death itself, but all along the way. He's the Savior. He saves me from my tiredness, my sickness, my anger, my frustration, my anxiety. He's always saving me, always transforming all those negativities into something positive, which is a grace, which is to be with him. And he conquers everything that is bad, and he brings everything that is good. Give him permission, as Mother Teresa would say.
Amen. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left. We're not going to do Monica and Augustine justice, but we'll...
Yeah, well, let me end with this one thing with Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's titled, Love Them Anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people may accuse you of selfish motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you may win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and transparency make you vulnerable. Be honest and transparent anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People who really want help may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you may get hurt. give the world your best anyway. The world is full of conflict. Choose peace of mind anyway. In the end, it was always between you and God and never about you and them anyway. Mother Teresa, that was accredited to her, Ken. But that's a good way to end. Love one another as we are loved. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love that conquers all, even the grave.
Amen. All right, we're going to try the phone call thing one more time. And it's a different caller. Nope. Yeah, not good. So we're going to forgo the caller. And we'll jump over to St. Monica or Augustine or both. Monica was born in the year 330 and would die in the year 387. And she could have been a nagging wife, a bitter daughter-in-law, and a despairing parent. Yet she didn't do any of these things, and she prayed endlessly. And she's a great example for those who have children, spouses, in-laws, anybody in their life that struggles with the faith, and especially with addiction perhaps, that to continue to pray. And that's what Monica did for decades. And her husband Patricius, he died in 371, and that was 1 year after his baptism. She prayed him into the church. Monica had at least three children who survived infancy, and the oldest was Augustine. And at the time of his father's death, Augustine was 17. He was a rhetoric student in Carthage. And Monica was not happy to learn that her son had accepted the Manichaean heresy, where all flesh is evil, and started to live an immoral life. He would go on to father a child and just participate and partake in things that were the furthest from Christian as could be. When he was 29, Augustine decided to go to Rome to teach rhetoric, and Monica wanted to go along. So one night he told his mother that he was going to the dock to say goodbye to a friend, and instead he got on the boat and headed to Rome. Monica was heartbroken when she learned that she had been tricked by Augustine, but she still followed him. She got to Rome only to find out he had left Rome already and went to Milan. And Monica then pursued him to Milan. In Milan, Augustine came under the influence of the bishop, St. Ambrose, who also became Monica's spiritual director. She took his advice in everything and had the humility to give up some of the practices that had become second nature to her. She became a leader of the devout women in Milan, as she had been in Tagaste. She kept praying for Augustine during his years of instruction, and at Easter in the year 387, St. Ambrose baptized Augustine and several of his friends. Soon after, his party left for Africa, and although nobody was aware of it, Monica knew her life was near the end, so she told Augustine, "Son, nothing in the world now affords me delight. I do not know what there is now left for me to do or why I am still here, all my hopes in this world being now fulfilled." She became ill shortly after that and suffered severely for 9 days before her death. And almost everything we know about Monica has come from St. Augustine's writings, especially in his book, The Confessions. So that kind of summarizes the two of them. The one thing that I did leave out, Father, is that you had found that St. Monica had been a wine bibber, that she liked to partake and may have been an alcoholic herself. So a patron not only for those in Al-Anon, but also for those of us in recovery from alcoholism and addiction. Father?
Yeah. Well, that story goes, Ken, that she was in charge of the wine cellar before she was married. She had two sisters, and mother and father. They were wealthy, and they had a wine cellar, and they had maidens that would take care of the children. And Monica's job was to go down and to bring up the wine for the supper, for the dinner. And when she would go down, she would, in the beginning, just start nipping a little bit of the wine. And then she was drinking down mouthfuls and then cupfuls and relishing them, getting really tipsy. And this was going on for some time until a maiden looked at her and said, "You know, you are a wine bibber." And Monica has her moment of truth, and she bypasses the alcohol. But it's what her son said in the Confessions. Now, this is 1,600 years ago. Augustine says about his mother, "My mother had a disease." Alcoholism called it a sickness 1,600 years ago. "My mother had a disease, and there was no remedy for it except the medicine of God," which is the Holy Eucharist. Augustine talks about it even when he was dying. Yeah, he had Mass said on his deathbed. "That late have I loved thee." He talked about where he was finding the spread of life. And what was that Monica saying at the end of her life? She said, "Bury my body wherever you will. Only one thing I ask of you, that you remember me at the altar of the Lord wherever you may be. Bury my body wherever you want, because I'm not going to be there, but remember me at the altar. Always see the host, Ken, as a window into heaven, where on the other side our loved ones are waving to us, and we can wave right back to them." But yes, all Eucharistic, even way back then, and they passed that on to us, that this is my body. Do this. It's a commandment that he does. I was listening to Father's homily last night, Father Shea's homily, when he was saying whatever Jesus said was effective. It happened. If he said to the blind, see, they saw. If he said to the storm, be still, it was still. He didn't have to go to a higher authority and say, like the prophets, Yahweh says, or who says Rabbi Joshua said, or they're quoting some other prophet. No, when Jesus said something, it was his own authority. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And then his whole point last night, what Father was saying was, and when he says, "Take this and eat it, this is my body, this consecration," what he says, "This is our God," it happens. So when the priest picks up the bread and the wine and he says those words, it's Jesus saying those words. And the bread becomes his body and the wine becomes his blood, body, soul. And then that great commandment, his last will and testimony, do this, do this. We need that bread of life, Ken, that nourishment, that food from heaven that comes down from heaven to nurture us on our pilgrim way home to the Father. We're not orphaned. He's with us always, especially in his most blessed sacrament.
Amen. And, again, great examples for us. And you're talking about the Holy Communion and the consecration. That's what the whole 5 o'clock hour tonight is going to be dedicated to, is the Mass and the Eucharist. And really looking forward to Sister Mary Ann, because it is the center, should be the center of our life. And like you mentioned earlier with St. Teresa of Calcutta and the hours that she spent in adoration. And it's funny, the longer I hang around people like yourself and others in this Catholic world, you can tell the ones that spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. There's just a different aura about them, a different attitude, holiness, if you will, that it can't help but, I think, happen when you spend, time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and making daily Mass. And for Augustine to see that even, a little bit later in his life, granted he was only in his 20s when he converted, so not nearly as old as his father was. But, it just shows that there's always hope, that, we don't know, despite some of the crazy things that we see people do. Jesus is still in there somewhere. And, Jesus was certainly in Augustine. And, it took the prayers of Monica and him running into his own set of circumstances, right, in Milan, and hearing the music in the church and catching up with St. Ambrose. And that's the other, thing that we see is, saints breed saints. When you come in contact with a saint or a potential saint, It for whatever reason, it just seems to rub off. And I was even listening to a talk on my way out here to the radio station today about how even the animals are attracted to the saints. And I thought of St. Francis of Assisi, but certainly others. And the man had a number of paintings and illustrations of animals that would come to feed the saints, like the Desert Fathers. There was no food out there. How did they eat? And because of their holiness, the birds would come and take care of them. So just, you know, especially with this pair, we see it with Monica and Augustine. Not that one led to the other, but both, I guess, coming through St. Ambrose.
Yeah, you made me think about St. Anthony, where this man didn't believe in the real presence of Jesus, and he had a donkey, and St. Anthony was processing the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance, and when he came to the man's donkey, the donkey knelt down in front of the Eucharist. So even the animals teach us, you know, the real presence of Jesus. It made me think of that story, Ken.
Very good.
Anyway, I know we're running out of time. And
yeah, got 2 minutes.
That's it? 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Oh, well, let me just say, you know, when he was 33, when he has his moment of truth there and he turns Augustine, that was it the, he picks up the manuscript of the Bible and he reads these words. Let us live not in carousing and drunkenness, not in lust, quarreling, not in gluttony, rather put on Jesus and make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. That's when he heard the words, tole leje, tole leje, take and read, take and read. And that was a God experience, because that's exactly what he was going through. And then it was to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from there, Augustine has his conversion. But you know, it's only 2 minutes, so we're running down. I better not even try to go there. But anyway, back to Monica, was her prayer, Ken. The power of prayer. It was not only her prayers for her son and for her husband and her mother-in-law. It was the tears and penances that she did as well. Like, you put those three together, like our Lord said, you know, when you pray and when you fast and when you give alms. So I do put those three together, that spiritual tripod. Something is going to happen. We just can't say words, you know, but I offer up my tears and my penances, my sacrifices. I give alms to the poor. You know, the Lord's going to respect that, and something beautiful is going to happen to our souls. So for Monica, life is fragile. Handle it with prayer, but also with penance as well as tears. Amen.
Amen. We get your blessing, Father?
Yeah, I wish I could be in that, listen to the radio program. I might have to listen to the replay, so yeah. Hope you have a replay for it.
Nah, we'll get it.
Yeah. Well, here's a blessing for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, we praise and thank you for all the blessings, but especially for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life. And Jesus, for being with us always and giving us your Holy Spirit, that we are empowered to believe that you are there every step, every heartbeat, every breath along the way, until we all come home in verdant pastures with all our loved ones, seeing the Father, who we come from, where we're going, and where we belong. Bless all of our listeners, especially those who can't get out, all the elderly, all those who are listening. Real good, Lord, with an increase of faith, hope, and love. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, our guest is already on the line, Sister Mary Ann Fatula, and we'll be talking about her book called The Wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist. You're not going to want to miss it. Please stick around. We've got a minute here to go take a break and then be sure to come back. Don't go away.